But for now, we're turning to the world of Culturefile, presided over by Luke Clancy.
The Seafarer is a poem from the Anglo-Saxon tradition which has inspired Scottish viola player-turned-composer Sally Beamish to create an epic work for trio and actor. The poem tells the story of a life at sea as a spiritual journey. But for Beamish, the Seafarer also helps emphasise the links between Scotland and its Nordic neighbours. The composer was a disappointed Yes supporter in the recent Scottish referendum, believing that Scots should look across the sea rather than down south for their kin, as she told me when I spoke to her from her home in Glasgow.
I've always seen Scotland as more of a Nordic country, really, and not relating so much southwards to England and Westminster, but more, much more in common with the Scandinavian countries. I think the fact that we're, you know, Scotland's the same size as Norway population-wise, and they also have resources, and there didn't seem any reason why we shouldn't go the way that they've gone. But and also the fact that it's a chance to get away from Westminster thinking, I suppose. They say if there was a referendum now that it would be a yes. I've always worked with words, and ever since I was very small, when my mother taught me to write music, and the very first thing I did was to set words to music, make songs. I remember making an opera, I called it an opera, O-P-R-A, out of Paul Gallico's story when I was about 7 or 8. And I think also coming from a family with a lot of actors and singers, and so I've been surrounded by theatre, and I think words have always been terribly important. I do a lot of writing myself, and I have set my own words. I've written quite a lot of poems, and I've done quite a lot of settings of my own work. But it's, in a way, more interesting to bounce off somebody else's work. And that's something that I did a lot when I was first writing my first professional commissions and trying to create sort of bigger spans of music. I always felt slightly lacking in confidence because I didn't seem to be able to write anything longer than about 7 or 8 minutes. And when I was just beginning to write bigger pieces, someone asked me to do a setting of 6 poems by Irina Ratushinskaya. And I set them for spoken word. It was meant to be a really background music for readings of these poems, but I asked if I could make it into a single piece of music, and so I had interludes and what I called songs in between. The songs were actually spoken but with music underneath, and I suddenly found I'd written a 20-minute piece, and this was a huge step forward for me in confidence.
This is the truth. The ways I toiled, distraught, for days on end, enduring cares and bitter bale within my breast.
The translator of the poem, Charles Harrison Wallace, who translated it from the Anglo-Saxon, lives in Shetland. And he's half Scottish and half Swedish. And I think that comes out very much in the translation. It's very Nordic, very chilly and stark. And some of the words he's used are... like he uses the word gauk for cuckoo, which is the Scots word, but it's also very close to the Swedish word for cuckoo. And you feel very much this sense of the Scandinavian sea journey. And in fact, in churches in Denmark and in Scandinavia in general, you very often get a ship suspended, a model ship suspended in the nave. And the nave, of course, relates to naval. And there are all sorts of sort of sea images. In Norway, the Viking longships, when they were no longer seaworthy, were turned upside down and made into churches. So the sea journey is very much related to the journey of life.
Thank you.
In the central movement of the seafarer, there's the reference to the gauk or the cuckoo. The gauk repeats his plaintive gek, which of course is the sound of the cuckoo, bob bom. And I've put that very low on the piano so that you don't immediately think that it's a cuckoo. So you don't sort of think, oh, she's done a cuckoo. But there is this falling minor third going on in the left hand, which then becomes the absolute linchpin for the whole movement, that this third, interval of a third, gets transformed in various different ways. So that's a way of using birdsong to make it into something completely different, and it becomes something very fast as well, which is like a sort of spirit world, which is also described in the poem, of these sort of banshees and this sort of falling sound, ethereal sound. And that is all taken from this very, very simple motif that starts with a cuckoo. The poem falls into five sections, and it is basically the journey of life. I mean, it begins with the putting out to sea, and just before the end, there's quite a chilling description of old age.
How our travail here will lead us to the living wellhead and heaven, haven of our Lord's love.
So, the flesh is weak and you fail to savour sweet or sour, and, you know, the sense is fading. But how it, that death... It's really, you can't take it with you. You know, the gold that is hoarded by great lords means absolutely nothing once you're gone. So it's similar to in a lot of religions, you know, that there's a very Christian message at the end. No one's quite sure whether that was tagged on.
For all time.
Or whether it actually was part of the original poem, but it's very much about the heaven haven of our Lord's love, and that having made this journey, you are embraced by the haven of love.
Amen.
I was talking to composer Sally Beamish there, and her work, The Seafarer Trio, will be performed by the Trio Con Brio Copenhagen, with Barry McGovern performing the poetry next Wednesday, the 10th of December, at Smock Alley Theatre in Dublin.